The Conservative Party leadership race to replace Boris Johnson will finally be brought to a close today. Britain's new Prime Minister will be facing a formidable set of challenges. And to look ahead to what we can expect, I'm joined now by Kevin Maguire, Associate Editor with the Daily Mirror, and Gerry Scott, Political Reporter with the Times London. Good morning to you both and thank you for joining us today. Gerry, I want to ask you about your report today in the London Times. Tory alarm at suicidal talk of a Boris Johnson comeback as Prime Minister. This is fascinating. So there's a suggestion that there could be a vote of no confidence, people planning on writing to Graham Brady and the 1922 committee before Christmas. And this is aimed at getting Boris Johnson back in the job.
Yeah, well, look, credit where credit's due to begin with. The plot of the 12 letters of the Sunday Mirror story yesterday, but this is the reaction to it by other Tories who are saying that, you know what, Boris Johnson can't make a comeback. You've got Jake Berry, who is widely tipped to be party chairman under Liz Truss, if she wins, as we expect her to, saying it would be suicidal for the party to try and do a new vote of confidence when we've just had 8 weeks of navel-gazing. But then you've got allies of Boris Johnson, Eddie Lister, his former chief of staff, saying, you know, never say never with Boris Johnson and don't rule it out. So, you know, this really reflects the kind of mood and context in which Boris Johnson is leaving Downing Street. It's not the legacy he would have wanted to be left with. And that's why those close to him are saying, well, don't rule him out for another shot.
Yeah, and there's no doubt, Kevin, that he is lurking there. And whether he will go ahead with it or not seems to have designs on an attempt at a comeback at some point. Would you agree?
Oh, Claire, he's going to be a nightmare for whoever wins. It's expected to be Liz Truss because he's got a giant ego. And he'll want to be the centre of attention and he'll keep popping up and making speeches. No doubt that will either embarrass or overshadow the next Prime Minister. I think he's finished. I think he'll leave politics at the next election. But he certainly wants the speculation to continue that he might make a comeback. And perhaps in his own mind even thinks it, because he never quite knows when he's beaten. He's been written off many times. And returned, but he will be the ghost at the feast every day for her. She'll be living on tenterhooks, and I believe she's going to appoint somebody from his team into her team to actually manage him, to take his phone calls, to speak to him, make him feel valued, really, to stop him wrecking her premiership.
Okay, that's probably a clever plan. Gerry, the result then of the Tory leadership contest is expected at about 12:30. Will you take us through the sequence of events?
Yeah, I mean, this is the culmination of this leadership contest, which has really completely overshadowed the summer, hasn't it? Whilst people have been worrying about their energy bills. So we'll get the results around 12:30 from Graham Brady, the chairman of the 1922 committee. His time in the limelight, he'll announce the results. The winner will be able to give a short speech, but then the kind of hard work begins. They'll be finalising their proper speech that they'll make outside of Downing Street on Tuesday. You know, really finalise those cabinet positions before tomorrow they head to Balmoral, both Boris Johnson and the new Prime Minister, to see the Queen, do that swap over, and then it's back for a speech in Downing Street. And then the real hard work begins, because it's PMQs on Wednesday. Liz Truss, if she wins, has promised to announce her plan on energy bills within a week. At the Times, we understand that will include some sort of freeze on energy prices, although the details are so far unclear. So that's how the week is shaping up so far. But this week, this month, this year, this next 2 years is going to be fully dominated by this cost of living crisis and this energy crisis. So I think that's probably all we're going to hear about, really.
And your colleagues in the Sunday Times yesterday, Tim Shipman in particular, had a rundown of her expected cabinet. As time has gone on since that was published late on Saturday night, is there consensus around the names mentioned?
Yeah, I think so. And you know what's really interesting? That there's kind of those great offices of state, none of them are going to be held, as we understand it, by white men, which is genuinely a really interesting part of this contest. It's been a very diverse contest. And the only other whisper I've heard this morning, and it's a bit of an outside shot, so you never know these things, is that Kemi Badenoch might be being lined up for transport, which might be a bit of a wild card. Let's see if I'm right or wrong. I won't be putting bets on it, but you know, these rumours circulate and it's always good fun to speculate. But I think, as we understand it, the list as of yesterday is pretty much there. It's just the last few people that she's wanting to get into positions. Penny Mordaunt, for example, has turned down a few jobs, but is looking to get a job, considering she brought so many MPs over with her when she dropped out of the race.
What job does she want?
Well, it's not clear. She's turned down a few of them, we understand party chairman, we understand transport as well. So it's not clear what she wants, but it's dotting the I's and crossing the T's at this stage.
Mm-hmm. And Kevin, if, as expected, Liz Truss does win this contest, she's going to be in a strange position where the elected Tories wanted her opponent, Rishi Sunak, but the membership wanted her. And she is going to have to deal with that divide from the get-go.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult to put the party back together again, because this contest feels as if it's gone on longer than Game of Thrones and been far more violent. And you're right, she does not have the backing of a majority of MPs in Westminster. But if she should prevail in that vote of the Conservative Party in the country, about 160,000 or so of them, 0.2% of the population, she'll have to somehow unite her party in order to appeal to the 99.8% who are excluded from the contest. I think that's going to be really tough, because Rishi Sunak, her rival, looks as if he's going to refuse to serve for her, and will be humiliated if he has to vote for a budget that he called fantasy economics. Michael Gove, been a prominent cabinet minister since 2010, accused her of taking a holiday from reality. There's a lot of bad blood flowing. I think it's going to be an incredibly difficult job for her to pull off, because there are so many competing pressures on her. And you have the cost of living crisis, you've got an NHS crisis, you have to deal with migrants coming over the channel on small boats, you've still got to deal with Ukraine. She's going to trigger a trade war, we believe, with the European Union by activating Article 16, which is going to be hugely controversial in itself over Northern Ireland, the Republic and the rest of the EU. So her in-tray is bulging, absolutely bulging. And is she up to the job? That's what we're going to find out.
Well, Gerry, just on what will happen with the Northern Ireland Protocol, I saw reports over the weekend that she's planning to visit Dublin very early days into her premiership, if she wins, as expected, at 12:30. Can you explain to us what the strategy is there?
Well, I mean, your guess is as good as mine in some ways, because we really haven't heard enough about it during this leadership race that has been dominated by that cost of living crisis. But yes, we do understand she'll make a trip pretty soonish, because she's basically up against the House of Lords, you know, who want to delay or even scrap a lot of them. The Northern Ireland Protocol bill, it's cleared the Commons, it's working its way through the Lords, but there is a, you know, pretty sizable rebellion that looks like it's forming in there. So it would be, you know, smart of her to try and find another way through this impasse. But, you know, she's been pretty hard-nosed in this. I'm not sure that there is really any ground to be given. The EU has said, you know, that they are always around the negotiating table, but I'm not really sure how far we can get, and actually how much time she's going to be able to dedicate to it either, with as we heard there, that absolutely massive in-tray, which also includes things like strikes to deal with kind of on home soil.
Mm-hmm. And we heard from our own Foreign Minister, Simon Coveney, who said he hoped that the relationship would take a different direction, that there would be a change. That seems unlikely, Kevin, given Liz Truss's stated position on the protocol.
Yeah, we cannot ignore. She was a 2016 Remainer who said Brexit would be disastrous for trade, and it has proved such. She's swung to become the most Brexit of Brexiteers because she needed to court the votes of that wing of the Conservative Party in order to wear the crown and to succeed Boris Johnson as Prime Minister. She will provoke a battle with Brussels because she believes that will be popular with her own part of the party, consolidate her position, and to some extent act as a diversion from other problems at home. So I think she's a foreign secretary now. I think she's about to create a lot of international turbulence for the UK, and some neighbours, including Ireland, will be victims of that.
Mm-hmm. The foreign minister here also said that he doesn't believe that she will trigger Article 16 because she has been foreign secretary and has had the opportunity to trigger it in the past and has not done so.
Yeah, I think I'm afraid. I think he's risking a nasty surprise. because you'll want to get legislation through Parliament, basically unpicking the treaty, breaking it. But in the meantime, there's tariffs coming along, there are changes coming along, and she's got to excite those people who backed her, who are, I think, in many ways, the most fundamental Brexiteers in her own party. Michael Gove and Rishi Sunak, who will not serve in her cabinet, and in fact Gove's case will not be asked to, they both backed Brexit in 2016 when she was against it. They are both against triggering a trade war and Article 16 because they see the risks. But she herself sees a political advantage at home. I think she's making a big mistake, but I can see why, from her perspective, she'll do it, and she feels she has to do it.
All right, but one of the more immediate problems, Gerry, is the cost of living crisis, the energy crisis, and we've heard about this plan proposal for a cap on energy prices that she may bring in. But, I mean, it was very, very worrying to see this UK police report over the weekend. They've drawn up plans to deal with law and order issues they expect over the winter, economic turmoil, financial instability leading to particular crime types. This is a very pressing problem for the new Prime Minister.
Yeah, it is. And I think it just, you know, that report, that police report, shows the kind of depth and breadth of the problem. There are people across the country who are being affected by this at kind of all levels of income, all levels of job stability. Obviously, it's worse for those most vulnerable and pensioners who are on fixed incomes, who use more energy than others. And what we've been lacking in this contest so far is any detailed plans. And look, I'll be honest, I have a little bit of sympathy with that because it's difficult to draw up specific plans when your feet aren't under the desk, you're not through the door, you don't have access to all the information. But I do think that it's very interesting that now Liz Truss is basically over the line. Her team, as we understand it, accept that she has won, that it's in the bag, one of her team told me yesterday. Now is the time when she's not vying for those votes of the Conservative membership anymore, that she starts to soften her stance on what she would be doing. So we have got the whispers of freezing energy prices, but, you know, she's maintained throughout this contest that she won't be giving handouts. This could be a way where she could get around that. These won't be handouts. You know, it's not going to be 400, 500 quid in your bank by Friday, but it is a diversion from those tax cuts, which she said initially were the only way to tackle this crisis.
All right, well, let's wait and see what happens at 12:30. But as you say, she believes and her team believes that she has it in the bag, and Rishi Sunak will possibly, we read, be leaving politics as a result. But we will await the result at 12:30 today. Gerry Scott from The Times London and Kevin Maguire from The Daily Mirror, thank you for joining us. I just want to bring you some breaking news now. Enoch Burke has been arrested and has arrived at the High Court. RTE's Sinead Hussey is reporting that a Gartha van was seen leaving Wilson's Hospital School in Multifarnham near Mullingar shortly after 9 o'clock this morning. The High Court ordered the arrest of a secondary school teacher who is alleged to have breached the terms of an injunction directing him not to attend or teach at the school where he's employed. Now, last week, the court granted an injunction to the Board of Management of Wilson's Hospital School against the teacher, Enoch Burke. The court was told Mr. Burke had been put on paid administrative leave following a public confrontation with the principal at a school event in June after Mr. Burke had been requested to address a student who wishes to transition by their preferred pronouns. The school had been granted the injunction after telling the court that Mr. Burke was continuing to attend, and lawyers for the school told the court last week that he was on the premises sitting in an empty classroom. We'll bring you more on this story if there are any updates, but the latest news is that Enoch Burke has been arrested and has arrived at the High Court. We'll take a quick break, back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.